Madam Speaker, it's a good bill.
Frankly, I'm embarrassed.
The President of the Senate called a hot mess.
Oley Insider is an educational journey through the Washington State Legislature, following interesting and important bills through the legislative process.
This is a serious matter, Mr. Speaker. We're moving the wrong direction here.
Oley Insider is produced by Positive Intentions Media, hosted by citizen volunteers Erica Engelhart and Jay Fratt.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, rising in support.
And it's the right thing to do.
Hello, everyone. This is Erica from the Oley Insider. I'm here with my partner in crime, Jay Fratt.
Hi, hi. I need to say, partner in crime, that might be a dubious claim after we read this bill and all the things that it can do.
Oh, you know what? You're right. I should have said the one and only Jay Fratt.
There we go. Hey, hello.
Okay, so today's episode is a little bit different because we're sounding the alarm. Jay has just published an article laying out how a set of the Attorney General's agency request bills are kind of stacking together something that we've never seen before. And we think that you should know about it. So these bills, in a nutshell, they expand the AG's power, hide identities of the AG's investigators, and remove citizenship requirements for these positions. So we're going to have Jay break it all down for us. First of all, thank you for looking into this, Jay. I don't think anyone's really talking about it, and I think it's really important. So what is it that we're dealing with here? What is the problem?
Well, if you go back to our first show of this session, this season of Oley Insider, we both laid out bills that we were interested in that we were looking at. And I had, in particular, a couple of the agency request bills from Nick Brown, and they seemed puzzling. The expanded powers. They were very specific, but these were agency request bills by Nick Brown. For example, let's see, HB 2156, which grants new powers to Attorney General investigators. And then that coupled with, when you just look at it really quick, HB 2096, which then gives the cloak of secrecy and clandestine identifications to those investigators. And I've got a little bit of history with that from a 2017 article written by Will Arkin, where he discusses a federal clandestine force from the DOD that was given clandestine identification and anonymity. And in that article, he specifically highlights Washington State as a state that they were getting IDs from the Department of Licensing, that they had an agreement with Department of Licensing to create these clandestine covers. So I started learning about these secret agents, way back then from that article, and have always kind of paid attention to that. So that bill, sparked some interest in me. And then we've got the bill that we've been fighting now for 2 years, SB 5068, which allows immigrants, people with immigrant status, asylees, things like that, that are authorized to work from a federal level but are not authorized to work in civil service positions like firefighters, like police officers, prosecutors. Well, this bill, SB 5068, allows the hiring of visa holders in those positions, which is creates constitutional problems, creates problems within a society where people have law enforcement and force protections on citizens. Now all of a sudden we're going to enter in foreign nationals into those positions. So that, we've been fighting that for 2 years, and that's scary. But now I started thinking of the way that plugs in to this suite of bills. Then Chairman Walsh, Representative Walsh, Jim Walsh, he started highlighting this agency request bill by Nick Brown that I hadn't seen yet. And that was HB 2161 with a companion bill, SB 5925. And what that bill does is it then gives the Attorney General broad civil investigative mandates. So things like constitutionality or discrimination, now the Attorney General has new mandates to go after those situations. And that, when I started looking at that bill, that's okay. when they all kind of tied together and started painting a bigger picture of, you know, what are they really trying to do here? And it becomes quite alarming, especially from the DNA attitude, rhetoric of this party, this Democrat Party, and the people in power within that party.
So, okay, so just to back up a little bit, anyone who has not read the article, you can find it on our website, oleinsider.com. And then, so basically what you're saying is, each individual bill is, you know, maybe not so alarming, maybe a little bit alarming, but when you put them all together, it's very alarming. So Jay is going to actually hand deliver his article to several legislators so that he can educate them and so hopefully get them to see the bigger picture here. Because I think when a lot of them are reviewing the bills or they're, you know, in committee or they're, you know, going through a vote, they're looking at each one individually. So I think it's important that we kind of piece together the bigger picture. So I think that's great.
Yeah, and they're framing like HB 2161, this one that gives broad civil investigative mandates to the Attorney General's office. They're framing it as this anti-ICE bill. And that's fine. You can see the setup there. But when you combine all the bills together, and I think that's the proper way to look at it, you can't argue each individual bill. You have to argue once all these bills are passed, because we live in a democracy that's dominated by one particular party. The one particular party has all of the state agencies' heads, elected heads. They have the majority of the House, majority of the Senate. When you piece all these together, you have to see how they're going to work together and operate in the future. And that's when it becomes alarming. And just to follow up on what you said, when you go to oleinsider.com, the written article will be there as part of this particular show page. So we're producing this podcast in conjunction with the publication of the article. And I'm going to hand deliver it because they do often when they're in, and this is multiple committees as well. So these bills are going through multiple committees. So one legislator might see one particular part of the bill and be arguing against it, and another legislator might be seeing another part of a bill. But I think they need to look at it in its entirety and what they're trying to do.
Absolutely, because I do think that, you know, a party could strategically divide things up like this. And, you know, get these bills to be pushed through without anyone ever realizing what they just did, you know. So, you know,
you're exactly correct.
I do,
and like last year,
go ahead.
Like last year in an we're an educational podcast trying to help citizens understand the process. And remember last year there was a bill, a healthcare bill, I believe. It was a bill regarding violent sex offenders, and there was a suite of things that the bill was doing. And then separate from that, there were individual bills that made up that particular suite in one bill. And we talked to Travis Couture because he submitted one part of that. And so it's exactly like you're saying, that this could have been presented as one bill. And it's almost, you have to look at like a chess game, right? If they're trying to get something accomplished, and this is the way I found it, was I kept finding these pieces. I kept finding these pieces, and then all of a sudden it's like, oh, wait, when you put these pieces together, it forms a very scary puzzle.
Yes, absolutely. I definitely agree. So, you know, let me ask you a question. If these bills were to pass, what do you think Washington would look like in a few years?
Well, I'm raising the flags and trying to sound the alarm bells because you can clearly see a secretive ideological, political force being created that could harass, potentially jail, potentially bankrupt its political enemies.
Yes.
And when I highlight this, think about this. This is not happening in a vacuum. We like to think that our government is objective, that our government is there to protect the citizens. However, we've seen in recent times that they view us from a lens where our leaders, our elected leaders, are calling half of us Nazis, that we're protecting Nazis, that we're being gaslit by Nazis, that the entire structure that I've grown up with in government, where you have different philosophies that you argue and you debate, and then you come together in the middle, and that helps government function and government be restrained and good in sure. some ways. That's the philosophical angle of you know, conservatism versus liberalism, right? Well, once you label say conservatism, which is a philosophy within governance, right? The political philosophy of governance. Once you label that, and the people that are carrying that particular banner in this time as Nazis or enemies of the state, that's very dangerous. Yeah. And they've done exactly that, specifically through this attorney general's language and rhetoric against the federal government. But even though they're referring to the federal government and Donald Trump, they're also, remember when Joe Biden, 2022, his blood red speech, he referred to us as domestic extremists, just being yes. like if somebody was a part of MAGA, they were domestic extremists.
That's, or they wanted to speak up at their school board.
Correct.
Same thing. They're not,
yep, then correct. So as you follow this forward and you look around corners, you can see this is very dangerous, especially when you have the lens of their rhetoric and their intent as they wield the power of these very powerful positions in elected office in our state.
Yes. You know, and I think some of this has to do too, you know, our state is out of balance. It's quite clear we're definitely Democrat controlled in all parts of the government. So this is kind of the things that happen when we lose that balance. You know, there's no more checks and balances because they're just kind of, they feel anyways that they're free to do whatever they want. That's why it's so important that we do try to educate our representatives and our legislators so that they can, you know, see our concerns and listen to them and kind of help piece it all together for them.
Yeah, that's exactly right. So, you know, think about the chaos of the legislative session. You know, these representatives and senators are in the middle of it. They can't see everything, you know, and oftentimes they are focused on the minutiae of a single bill within their committee, within their realm of responsibility, thinking of amendments, trying to broadcast out. So it is up to citizens and political operatives to kind of help them in some ways. And we've done that over the last 2 years since we've been really covering the legislature.
Absolutely. Okay, so you're going to deliver this to the legislators. Do you think you'll get a chance to chat with any of them about it, or will you follow up with them about it later? What is your goal here on delivering these over to them?
Well, I'm not sure about the chatting. Last year, when I created the article, it was a gender. I'm missing the gender surgeries were on the floor, and they kept the Democrats kept talking about suicide ideation, that these kids need these gender surgeries because they're going to kill themselves. And I uncovered that that was actually pseudoscience, and the CASS review out of NIH in England created actual peer-reviewed science that said they needed more talk therapy, and it steered away from these gender surgeries. So I did a write-up. It got published in the Clark County Today, and I did deliver that to several of the members to help educate them and give them a talking point to thwart that effort. This is the same kind of thing. Now, what I've done, what I've learned in a year is I'm not just sending it to representatives I'm familiar with. What I've done is I've targeted representatives that are on the various committees where these pieces are going through, Law and Justice Committee, for example. And so I've targeted the Republican ranking member, minority ranking members, and I'm going to deliver it to them. Will I be able to see them? I guess possibly. It's all going to be in live time. But I'm going to deliver a package, this article, basically, with an executive summary for them through their office, so like through their legislative assistant.
Gotcha. Okay. So now a couple questions. You do a really good job at explaining this in the article, but I just kind of want to hit on it again. So you point out that some of these positions at the AG's office could be filled by non-citizens. You know,
and I think some people are going to argue that they're just modernizing hiring.
But what risks do you think people aren't really thinking about as far as that aspect goes?
Yeah, and I mean, it's crazy. I mean, it's so the Attorney General's office is going to have a clandestine investigative force, and then you're also going to throw into that they're going to be able to hire foreign nationals within that clandestine investigative force. And oh, by the way, these are hyper-partisan actors that are caught up in the rhetoric of the day and completely have shown that they will weaponize government from their lens of, from their philosophical, ideological lens of perspective. The thing that nobody talks about, we can talk about the constitutionality of force on citizens. Okay, that's fine in the law enforcement area. But let's think about this. You've got foreign nationals that are here on a visa. Let's say they get hired as one of these jobs. That's a pretty, you know, that's a high-profile job working for the Attorney General of the state of Washington as an investigator.
Absolutely.
That attorney general has hiring and firing abilities for that visa holder. Maybe their whole purpose of being here in the country, this the best country in the world, is tied to this job. So the investigator, this foreign national, is now beholden to their boss. So that's a wild situation where the leverage is in the bosses, the administration's hands. And so now could, if somebody sees something wrong, you know, if they see something corrupt, if they are asked to do something they don't feel morally right about, there's coercion that gets that foreign national to execute those unconstitutional and or immoral and or just wrong instructions. They are now coerced to execute that or risk being sent out of the country.
Yeah, and that's probably something that, you know, is very realistic and really scary, you know. You said, sorry, I'm gonna remind myself what you said. Okay, so you talked about civil investigative demands, which sound boring, but you describe them basically as warrant-like powers without oversight. So how far do you think that could really realistically go?
Well, that's the scary one again, and this is why you have to get it into these legislators' hands, because they are the experts in the way these laws interact with the Constitution and current laws on the books. But the way I saw it is, the one that highlighted to me is the powers to investigate constitutional acts. So think about civil rights and discrimination. Now, what if you're in a situation where one party thinks women are being discriminated against and the other party thinks trans individuals are being discriminated against? You could see to where that the whole balance of the debate gets tipped then with a weaponized attorney general's office that can throw this clandestine force of secret investigators that now have subpoena power. They can find documents. It's basically it's setting up that they can harass and or charge and or bankrupt their ideological foes.
Yeah, now switch that to if it's not, you know, women being discriminated against or whatever group, and it's a political party, it's political views, it's your beliefs that they're discriminating against. That becomes, you know, really scary at that point.
Yeah, yeah. And in that situation, I'm thinking the way that the office would be used, where you've got, you know, a school district that wants to go against the WIA's policy on gender inclusion within academic sports. Well, could that AG then step in and actually investigate and throw their power on one side of the scale in that debate and that conflict?
You know, one thing I've kind of caught on to, you know, through our process here and even a little bit on my own before, but it seems to me like the laws are written with a certain intent, and then later they're interpreted in a different way that may, you know, what the intention was. So I think that we really have to look at the wording of these bills, you know, the legislators especially, because I think that they could easily be twisted around to be even, you know, more dangerous or have different implications than their intentions are when writing these bills. I mean, I don't think their intentions are great already because they're a little bit scary bills, but imagine after they start manipulating the meaning of it, you know, it's just gonna, it could be out of control.
Yeah, you're exactly correct, you know, and there's so many things that we haven't discussed in this podcast that you really need to read the article to see. But, you know, we're talking about secrecy from a party as a whole that has eroded public transparency in almost every position, from the legislator with what is it, legislative privilege,
right?
To Nick Brown saying, "Oh, there's no fraud there. I don't know what the $500 million is, but there's no fraud there." And so there's this the pieces of the bills, when they come together, they create these great expansive powers from the executive. And I'm hoping that the way this plays out is that one of the scales of our government, right, is the legislature is supposed to be able to keep the executive in check. Well, these bills are going through the legislature. So I hope the Democrats see in this power dynamic that this suite of bills actually gives the executive increased powers that obfuscates the legislative branch's ability to keep them in check. And really quick, we're at the 20 some odd minute mark, and you mentioned like hand delivering the bills and legislators, and that's an important process of what I'm trying to raise, this flags of awareness. Well, we have a very small podcast. This is a very small platform. It's a little dinghy in the ocean, if you will, of all the chaos of coverage of the legislature and the goings on. Last year, I was able to get my article on that on the gender surgeries and the gender affirming care published in Clark County Today, and that kind of raises the awareness. So learning from that process, what I'm going to also do is not just drop off a packet to the legislators, but I'm trying to reach journalists that cover the legislature, cover politics, to give it to them as well. And I've left some things out of this particular article that can then be extrapolated and expanded upon from journalists that go and ask these questions. I'm surprised nobody has seen these pieces put together and is talking from that lens. So I'm just trying to impact the scene of politics and get this conversation going and highlight what these all do together. And so the media piece of this is important, so that if I can get Center Square to start asking questions and reporting on it, or you know, our regionally famous podcaster Brandy Cruz, if she sees it then and does her own reporting on it, that's the goal. It's not to attach a name or to attach a podcast as a gatekeeper of the information, but is to get the information out and allow the larger boats in the ocean to then carry this warning flag.
Yes, absolutely. And, you know, all of our also help by just sharing our podcast or our your article with just, you know, their social media or friends, family, whoever, because it is important. And, you know, we have to remember we're in a short session right now. Everything is just moving so quick, you know, and we've got to be on top of it. And so I really appreciate that you were on top of this one, and hopefully we can get it into the hands of people where they can, you know, spread the word even farther.
Yeah, there's a lot going on in this legislative session, and you can see how these pieces could get through without anyone ever looking at the overall puzzle until it's too late. And I would say, you know, we're share the podcast, sure, but consume the information so that when you can tag these Glenn Morgans, these Brandi Cruises, these Carlene Johnsons, these other maybe more mainstream reporters and journalists and publishers, and speak eloquently on it and raise the flag to them. You know, we can have a multiplying effect, because this is what it's all about, is when you're just a lonely old citizen volunteer paying attention and trying to participate in the process. We have to use these kinds of techniques to make an impact and to make an influence in our legislature. We're not alone. We know there's a lot of people that are like us, and sometimes our alt media might chase something that is clickbaity. Meanwhile, something terribly important, we can help stop it now before it becomes too late and these pieces all get passed and they become this one puzzle that is really weaponized against us.
Yes, absolutely. Because we are the ones that have to live with the consequences if stuff like this, you know, gets passed. And, you know, it's our state. We're going to be the ones suffering if that's the case, you know. So. But I do agree. I think we've done our part here and to try to get the information out. Now we just got to get it, you know, hopefully get some other people on top of it as well, because I'm sure there's a lot more to it that maybe we're not even seeing that others could dive into a little bit more. But I think you've done good. You've done your share here, I do believe. So thank you for that.
Well, thank you. And absolutely, go read the article. There is a lot more meat on this bone for analysis. I did it in a specific way to allow these journalists to grab their particular angle that they see, you know, this discrimination angle and how that can be weaponized. That's an important one. And then they can have their own show content. So hopefully it gets highlighted. The other thing that we have to be vigilant about, as we saw in the biennium and the way that works, 5068 wasn't just a bill that was 1 year and then didn't pass. Now it's back this year. So now we have to follow these puzzle pieces and see if they get brought up again in the next year. You know, because in a long-term strategy for these powers that the AG's office, Nick Brown, is clearly seeking, he could pass a puzzle piece 1 year, another puzzle piece the next, and then next thing you know, 3 years later, that puzzle has been formed and they have these new powers with these new units.
Absolutely. And, you know, it could even be that in a different administration, you know, that he could kind of put in some lay the groundwork here for whoever, you know, is next up in line for his job. Because as we know, you know, our governor was once the AG. And so, you know, who knows what his plans are for the future. But I do think that there's some, you know, bigger idea here that is a little bit scary to me. So hopefully we can put a stop to it here.
It's a great point by you, because that is the dangers of when you have an attorney general come through, then become governor, and then that attorney general, the new attorney general, might be beholden because he came up in the administration of his boss and now governor. Mm-hmm. And it's all about that particular branch of government, the executive. And, you know, it's so funny that the other side, if you will, talks about no kings and the power of the executive at the federal level, all the while their executive and their application of the executive at our state level, they are trying to be expansive.
Yes, absolutely. There were a couple other things that I found interesting while I was reading your article, you know, and I was thinking about other bills, like, so they want privacy and secrecy for their you know, their investigators, but they demand that, you know, ICE identifies themselves and doesn't wear masks. And it's just, you know, it's very hypocritical if you ask me, but that's just what we're dealing with right now. So is there anything else you want to add, Jay?
No. Go read the article. Hopefully we'll get it broadcast on larger platforms, and I'll be delivering it to the legislators. And, you know, we're just all trying to participate. But I think I've seen something that I haven't heard anybody talking about, and it's very dangerous from my perspective.
I would definitely agree with you. So hopefully our listeners would read the article and agree as well. But we do thank you all for sticking. I know that this episode was a little bit different, but I think it was very informative. Please go read the article, and we will see you next week.
Peace.
Thanks, everybody.
Let us take a step back and let us reason together.
The legislative process can be intimidating. Let's go through it together.
If you could focus on the policy and not motives, please proceed.
Like and subscribe to Ole Insider on your favorite podcasting app. All resources and show notes will be available for each episode at oleinsider.com.
Mr. Speaker, I've stood up on the House floor repeatedly this year.
You can follow Erica Engelhart on X at For the Good, Jay Fratt on X at Jay Fratt, and Positive Intentions Media on X at PubSec Media.
It is our duty.
I really want to say thank you.